Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, this morning, is Rita Marker. She's the Executive Director of the Patients' Rights Council. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the Patients' Rights Council. What is the Patients' Rights Council?
Okay, the Patients' Rights Council helps people know the facts and the issues surrounding healthcare and healthcare decisions. And we also offer practical support for people, suggestions as well as documents that they can use to make sure that their rights are protected if they can't make their own decisions either permanently or temporarily. And we provide all kinds of really good factual information on things that are happening related to healthcare, so that it's something that helps people know the facts, helps them to get those facts out to other people, and to protect themselves and their loved ones.
Now, the Patients' Rights Council has prepared some survival tips. And when we think of survival tips, especially in seasons like this where we have some crazy weather, we're thinking batteries and flashlights and things like that. But that's not the type of survival tips that the Patients' Rights Council has put together, correct?
No. What we've done is we've put together some survival tips, and it's just the beginning of some that we'll be sharing with people. But such things as asking questions. A lot of people, when they go to the doctor or they're going in to have surgery or something of that sort, and a healthcare provider says, well, I don't think we need to provide this because, after all, because of his age. And it's something that would help the person. And so people sometimes just accept that then, and they say, oh, okay. Rather than asking, you know, if he were 40, what would you do? It's important to ask those questions because they can sometimes lead the healthcare provider to have what we call an aha moment and to say, wow. And we found that does work in some situations. So asking questions is really, really important. And by the way, on the asking questions, whenever a person is told that they have a particular condition or that they should have a particular test or whatever it is, it's the right of the patient, or if the patient can't make decisions, of the patient's decision maker to ask questions until they understand what exactly is happening, what the condition is, what the options are, and then for the patient or the patient's designated decision maker to give or withhold informed consent. Often, I think, though, people, and I say people, the older people are, the more apt they are to listen and to go along with whatever is said. But it's really important to recognize that the healthcare provider has the responsibility to provide information, but it's not the doctor's decision to make then. It's the patient's decision or the patient's designated decision maker.
There are certainly a lot of decisions that these are important decisions that we may have to make in life for us or for a loved one. These are things that need to be considered. And it's important to take time to educate ourselves on these matters, right?
Absolutely. You know, we get calls all the time from people who say, you know, my mom or my grandma is going in for surgery or going into a nursing home, and they say she has to have an advance directive. And so we want to know about this. Well, first of all, no one can be required to have an advance directive. And that term, by the way, covers two types of documents. One is a living will that I call a document that has so many loopholes you can drive a hearse through it. The other type of advance directive, however, is a durable power of attorney for health care, in which somebody names someone they know and trust who agrees with their views and values to make decisions for them at any time they can't make them for themselves, either temporarily or permanently. And that person that they name also has to be someone that can be assertive on their behalf. That type of advance directive is extremely important for everyone from the age of 18 on up to have. But it also has to be recognized that no one can require a person to have such a document. But just to explain why it's so necessary for people that are younger, and I'm talking about an 18-year-old college student or someone who has just graduated from high school and has just gotten a job. And parents often think, well, if my son or daughter who is at college or if they're still living at home and they have a job, if they're in a car accident and they can't make their own decisions for a while, I automatically have the right to make that decision for them. Well, that's not the case. And it varies from state to state. For example, a couple of people that I prepared documents for it was really an eye-opener for them a few years ago when they lived in California. And when their daughter went to college in Washington, D.C., they got a call one night saying, Catherine has been really sick with the flu, and she was in such bad shape, we just took her to the hospital, and they've admitted her. Well, her parents then called the hospital and said, we're Catherine's parents, and we're going to get on the flight tomorrow morning, but can you tell us what her condition is? And they said, well, we're sorry, but we can't give you that information as to whether she's even a patient here, but if she is, we'll let her know you called. Well, the reason for that is that there is a law called a HIPAA law. It's a federal law, and it has a lot of good reasons for it to protect patient privacy. But that facility can't give information to someone else unless they have authorization from the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Catherine was taken to the hospital, she couldn't authorize anything. Fortunately, her parents got on the flight the next morning. By the time they got there, she was much better. But by the time that they left, she had signed our document, which we make available to anyone who needs it. There's no charge for it, although we ask for a donation. But she named then her parents and several other people in order of priority to make decisions for her and to get information if she were in a similar situation or in a car accident. You know, young people have sports injuries. What happens then? So this is very, very, very important for people to know that they have to have named someone in such a document.
There are a lot of terms. There are the vocabulary that comes up in these matters. There's a lot of legalese, a lot of terms that we're just, that we don't use every day on an everyday basis that are hard to understand for some of us. Some of us is very easy.
Well, I think, though, you know, we look at situations where people are under stress, and no matter how easily someone can interpret these things when they're relaxed and looking them over, when they're under stress, it's more difficult. And I can tell you that several other attorneys I've talked to have said that they have signed papers when they've been in a health facility and realized afterwards what they signed, and they were totally shocked by it. For example, when you go in to the doctor's office, often you are given what is called a HIPAA form, a HIPAA release, and you're asked to sign that because that gives that particular doctor's office the right to provide information about your condition to an insurance company so that the doctor can get paid. And that's really important. But that HIPAA release is several pages long, and it has all kinds of stuff in it. Now, while you do want to sign something giving authority to the doctor's office to release that information so the insurance company will pay, that doesn't mean you have to agree to everything that's in that document. So if people have, for example, an elective surgery or they have a doctor's appointment in a week or so, it's a really good idea to ask if you can pick up any paperwork that needs to be signed in advance and to go over it. Because you can cross out parts of that where it says that they can provide this for different purposes. You don't have to agree to everything that is in that. You can cross it out, put your initials where you crossed it out, and then you can sign it giving authority for the appropriate release of information. So that's something else that is very, very, very important for people to do.
Mm-hmm. Is to read through that and to take the time is really what it comes down to. We're always in such busy, you know, our lives seem so busy that taking the time to read through these materials and make sure that we understand what they are before we sign something is certainly an important step.
Oh, absolutely. And if somebody doesn't have the time, they can always put right above their signature, signed but not read, so that it's clear that they didn't knowingly sign it.
Hmm. I didn't realize you could do that, signed but not read.
You can do a lot of things that people think can't be done. I talked to a woman just a couple days ago who is on Medicare, and she got a lot of paperwork in the mail from the state Medicare agency, and all kinds of questions. I mean, really, really a lot of questions. And she said then they were going to send someone over to, talk to her, or a nurse practitioner or someone. And that is what is done. The Medicare, in attempting to be helpful, is sending people to the home to take your blood pressure and to talk to you about various things, and they ask you to fill out this form in advance. And that's very nice of them. They can ask you anything they want to ask you, but you can answer anything that you want to answer, and some you don't have to answer what you don't want to answer. Nor do you have to say, oh, yes, you can come to my home and take my blood pressure and give me all kinds of advice. It's up to the person to decide. And sometimes people are told by healthcare providers who really aren't trying to pull the wool over their eyes, but they don't know any better. They sometimes say, well, you have to do this. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Right. We don't have to sign anything. We don't have to do those things. Well, I want to point our listeners to the resources that you make available, the list, the survival tips, and you mentioned a forum earlier. How can our listeners find those resources?
Okay, they can either go up to our website, which is patientsrightscouncil.org, and get our phone number up there, or they can call us, and we have an 800 number. It's 800-958-5678. And they can ask for our Protective Medical Decisions document. If they can't remember that name, they can just say the document to name someone to make decisions. And this is a document in which they'll name someone they know and trust, who agrees with their views and values and can be assertive on their behalf, to have the legal authority to make healthcare decisions for them at any time, either temporarily or permanently, that they're not able to make those decisions for themselves. And it's only during that time. Let's say somebody's in a car accident and they can't make decisions for a week or so. That person would make it for them. But as soon as they're able to make their own decisions, they would do so. So that's one document that is really important. We also send along with that a booklet that explains the difference between the living will and the durable power of attorney for health care, because the Protective Medical Decisions document is a durable power of attorney for health care. And we have booklets on various other things that are really important to learn more about. For example, some people, not a lot yet, but more and more, are hearing about something called a POLST form. That's P-O-L-S-T. And it stands for Physician's Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. This is being promoted across the country, where someone will, a doctor or some facilitator will ask the patient, do you want this or do you want that? Do you want to be resuscitated? Do you want antibiotics? Do you want various things? And it's like a living will on steroids, a lot of check boxes. And people sometimes discuss that and don't realize that that's going to become an actionable medical order that would be put in the very front of their medical file, and is actionable immediately, even if they're able to make decisions. So hearing about and reading a very clear and simply written booklet on POLST is important for people. These things are really, really helpful. You know, there's something else I want to suggest to people as far as survival tips. I have a poster that I've had in my office for years and years. It says, I wouldn't want to have lived without ever having disturbed anyone. But, you know, when I tell people about all these issues and they say, oh my goodness, when we talk about doctor-prescribed suicide, which is legal in the state of Washington and Oregon and Vermont, where a doctor can prescribe a deadly overdose of drugs for a patient to use for suicide, these things are frightening, and they're disturbing. And they're things that everybody needs to know about, because a group called Compassion and Choices, which used to be called the Hemlock Society, promotes it across the country. And people say, oh, that's so disturbing. And it is. But, you know, if you just disturb someone by giving them information that is, well, disturbing, doesn't do much good. That you can be disturbed by watching a mystery on television. It's only if people say, that is really disturbing and I'm going to do something about it, whether that's telling friends about it, whether it's writing a letter to the editor. Once someone is disturbed about something, then the next thing to do is to take action to do something. And to take action that is very carefully considered, to say things in the way that are the most apt to help other people to understand. So we work with people and we do workshops for people on how to express these issues, whether it's that they're going to call into a radio talk show, whether they're going to write a letter to the editor, whether they're going to be at their local Rotary and discuss it there. So these are the sorts of things we provide.
Thanks, Rita. Listeners, you can check it out at patientsrightscouncil.org. Thanks for being our guest today, Rita Marker, Executive Director of Patients' Rights Council.
You're very welcome.